Okay, hopefully there's a wingspan out there that recognizes this. It's a short one.
Sitting at home in my Barca lounger, waiting for the show to begin. Jack, Matt, Nick, sometimes Chris, are good friends of mine, good friends of mine. Forget the past, the ramble cast is all right tonight.
And then he goes into the rock show.
So I mean, what's this sometimes shit? That's if this was Owen Baruz, I'd understand. But
I be honest with me, when I first joined, I thought, oh, we got a guest.
Which one?
Sometimes I just put in stuff there because it fits the beats, you know. So I'm like, okay, I can put in three names there, and I need to squeeze the other one in. So how am I going to do it?
I was wondering what Beatles song you might pull in there.
Yeah, I did a Beatles ones last time though, didn't I? Or like not too long ago. So I was like, okay, I'll just choose a wing song instead. But
bunch of dicks.
Oh, we got a cranky chat too.
Really?
Oh, wow.
Oh, is that right? Yeah. Sherry's all in a tizzy about the Woody Allen documentary, and Kim's not in a good mood, apparently.
Wow.
Yeah.
Oh, man. Fuck. Well, let's join the misery. Hey, so just, you fuckers, I sent you a text. Thing up. A couple of days ago, or I think it was maybe yesterday, have you gotten a chance to watch it at the very least the opening scene?
Oh, Chris!
I did watch the opening scene.
I forgot.
Did you get what I was getting at?
Andre the Giant?
No, Carl Weathers. Yeah. Carl Weathers moment.
Carl Weathers.
As soon as they mentioned Carl Weathers,
he's
I was like,
can you sign this? He's like, is this Carl Weathers? Throws it back.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. That's.
I saw that, and I was sitting in my car on my break, which I, by the way, the most underrated place in the world for your break. I often eat lunch in my car, and I'm sitting there watching it,
sitting alone in my principles.
Yeah, and people around me, like walking, you know, around in the parking lot, you probably could hear me like squawking. I'm like, that's awesome. That's for me.
So it's funny. I do remember that scene, but I was like,
"What did you think about young wrestling? Rock. What did you think of Young Rock?"
I honestly, like I said, I only asked you guys to watch the first 10 minutes because that's all I've watched.
Oh, okay.
You said the first 5 minutes.
Oh yeah, whatever. Yeah, but I gotta get into it.
I continued to watch it. I did. I watched the first 5 minutes and then I came back to it and I actually enjoyed it. I was a little kind of like, I don't know, but it got me at the end with this like photo of his dad, you know, and him as a kid at the very end. And then I think that the second episode, I mean, comedy sitcoms are so tough on that first episode because you're trying to set up these characters, but you're also trying to make fun of them or have a laugh. But comedy is all about setup, punch, you know? And right. And that's why pilots. I mean, I checked out Young Rock. I checked out Keenan, which I felt like was really watered down, kind of weak sauce to me. I didn't really enjoy the Keenan. I wanted to.
My wife watched the first, and she goes, "It's bad."
Yeah, and then I also watched the Ted Danson and Mr. Mayor.
Is that good?
Better than the Keenan, it's got, but no. I don't know.
I was going to watch it. Has Bobby Monahan in it, but I was going Ted Danson. He's like the new Samuel Jackson, isn't he? He doesn't stop working, right? He's got to be like 80 now.
Who's that?
Who?
Ted Danson. Ted Danson.
Yeah. You know, Cheers.
Cheers, and then he went to he never stopped.
He did the good place.
Good. Yeah. But he had Beck. Was it Beckard?
Beckard.
Beckard. Beckard.
And
Beckard.
He makes Beckard. Cameos on
with Jorge Garcia.
Yeah, and he was that's how Jorge got discovered for Lost. Yeah. But it just or was it Curb Your Enthusiasm?
Well, he had a scene on Curb Your Enthusiasm as well.
Curb Your Enthusiasm.
Yeah,
but Ted Danson was on Curb Your Enthusiasm. So
yeah,
and he just never stops working. And wasn't he in one of those CSI shows or?
I think maybe the second episode or the third episode had something. I don't know. I'm still not kind of quite sold on either of them. I thought it was interesting that both Mr. Mayor and Keenan deal with like the dad who's lost a wife, you know, and that kind of, they're both going through that, but
isn't that like a standard, isn't that like the standard sitcom?
And what is up with Keenan? Like even when he's on SNL, there are always these moments where I don't believe him because he's always smiling through it. Like he's always about ready to break. Like,
what's up with that?
I love what's up with that, but there's some other sketches and things.
I like the one where talking about Samuel L. Jackson where he cusses. Have you seen that one on What's Up With That? Samuel Jackson's there.
Yeah.
And he goes, well, you can't say it. And he stays in character, but it's hilarious. If you haven't seen it, it's hilarious. You got to see it. It's funny because it's always Lindsey Buckingham.
Right.
Bill Hader doing Lindsey Buckingham. And then it was Samuel Jackson. And who else was the other person? But it was funny. It's like Samuel Jackson wasn't in on the joke.
And Randy, I have not watched Young Sheldon yet. I had to kind of give myself a break. So, you know.
Eric McBee, though, brought up, you know, I just looked it up. I was disappointed in it, though, because like he's even watched Weekend Warriors on Prime, which I have not heard of. And then a light bulb went off my head. I was like, now that would be a good show if you showed like people, because Weekend Warriors are National Guard people, you know, to my opinion, you know, it's what they always call them because you only show up for, you know, one weekend out of the month. And it could just be a like almost like a Stripes type show to where it's just a bunch of slackers, you know, fucking around with military weapons. You know, like, I mean, I think it'd be comedic gold, but whatever.
So it's definitely not that.
It's definitely not that. I know that would be funny. Yeah.
I'm looking at like the logo of it. It looks like it's just a bunch of drugs and shenanigans. No, I have not watched it, but maybe I will.
Well, you mentioned drugs.
So
you had me at drugs.
Yeah. What are we talking about?
Speaking of drugs, how's your shoulder, Matt?
Speaking of drugs, well, I guess we can deal with the elephant in my shoulder.
I mean, you covered it up with a cardigan.
I was going to say that my shoulder's been hurting, but then I realized how insensitive that would actually have been.
Fuck you, man. Fuck you and your shoulder. So yeah, you can't really see it because it's all bandaged up, and I'm not going to get the scar.
Have you started therapy yet?
Take it off.
What's up?
Do you have any idea how much fucking pain that causes him just to take off of his sweater?
I'm sure. Just...
Have you started therapy yet?
No.
Really?
They didn't say anything about therapy for me.
Other than the mental.
Because I had that whole crap done, and 3 days later, I still had the big old patch on my shoulder. They go, I go, therapy. They go, yeah. So I'm like this, going, ah.
Yeah.
I go, all right, this is causing me more pain. And then I had this one girl. She was taking my tears were running out of my eyes. She goes, you can tell me if it hurts. Tell me to stop. I said, oh, I didn't know. I'm just sitting here being tortured. But
well, yeah. Let me go ahead and share just a couple things here. So for those that probably already saw this on the Facebook you know, page, but this is a diagram that I drew the day after the sledding accident that occurred.
Which one's you? Is that you?
Did it's all me. No, it's actually the shoulder. It's supposed to be hit.
Oh, okay. Okay. All right. Okay.
I thought you were an artist.
I know.
Yeah.
Did you see my name for today's episode? It says zero fucks left.
In the corner is the leprechaun.
I didn't see a leprechaun, but he tricked me.
The leprechaun.
For everybody at home, if there's ever a moment where you're about to do something and that little voice says, I shouldn't do this. Listen to the voice that
wasn't
says.
Wasn't you told that like earlier in the winter not to do things like that?
I mean, maybe it was a car accident that I had.
And you realize at least seven people just deleted the podcast.
Well, if you're thinking about
or
doing
at least
something,
hit pause.
Okay, so I'm at my family and I, we've sled on this hill a couple times. The last time we sled on there, it was right after the big snow. And there was a nice cool ramp at the bottom, and it like pushed you out. And my wife went down it, my daughter went down it, I went down it. It was a lot of fun, right?
the dog went down. Everyone was successful, but
well, yeah. So about like a couple days later, so fast forward, it's thawed a little bit, frozen. Okay. And it's 5:30 on Saturday, and we're almost done sledding for the day. Honestly, we had been sledding on this other hill, and I was like, you know what? I want to try that other hill. That was so much fun. And I'm getting up to the top of it, and I'm looking at the ramp, and someone has made the ramp go more up, like up. And I'm thinking, nah, it'll be fine. I don't know. What am I worried about? And I go down, come up. And then I'm coming down, except on my body. And unfortunately, it broke my collarbone into three places. But I hit my shoulder, and that fucking hurt. I knew right away what had happened. I knew that it was not good. I knew that I had hurt myself.
Did you hear it snap?
No. It happened so fast too. You know, it's like opposite of the car accident where things went in slow motion. No, this was, and I'm fucked.
Yeah. Nothing worse than you can hear the snap.
And I'm picking myself up and I feel the bone. I feel the bone put like, it's not through the skin, but it's right there.
Yeah, so were you bad to the bone?
You've been working on these, huh? You got a whole list going? Okay.
No.
So at this moment,
Winter's bone.
At this moment, I know. I know that I'm like, okay, I'm this is it. We gotta go home. And I'm texting my wife with one hand.
Oh, your wife wasn't there?
No, my wife was there. She was there. She was on the other hill, though. She didn't see this happen. She only wishes that
honey,
she had video
recorded. Broken.
Were you on the Black Diamond sliding hill? Was that? Was there like a next bunny hop or bunny slope? So.
If I may finish,
the tenderfoot.
If I may finish, I'm texting my wife. I text her. I'm sorry, I hurt myself, and I'm yelling at my son who's playing in a snowdrift.
Wait, hold on a second. Hold on a second. Yeah. So the first thing you did was apologize?
Yeah, because I was...
You are such a well-trained husband. It's ridiculous.
I'm sorry.
He was worried he was going to get the other collarbone.
We lost Chris.
Yeah.
I don't know. Apparently he's lying.
My first text would have been, fuck!
I felt awful. I was mentally wrecked because I just felt like shit. Like I had not only had I physically hurt myself, but I like felt dumb. I felt so dumb and I felt so stupid for everything that I had done. And that's why I was like, I'm sorry. Like I, you know, and I'm yelling at my son, like, we gotta go. And the other dad that's there with the kids, you know, that we know and we know them as, you know, parents or whatever. And I said, yeah, I hurt myself. And he's like, oh, you sure you didn't just separate your shoulder? And I'm like, no.
Let me put it back in place for you.
He's like, no, I feel the bone. I got to go. Like, and so my wife, you know, she's walking over to meet me and I'm like, it's bad. I've got to go to the ER like now. And so our kids go with the other family. They take the my son and my daughter, and my wife drives me to the ER. On the way to the ER, I am about ready to pass out in the car. I'm going, and I learned something, and I'd like to pass this on to any listeners that should know this. I had what's called a vagal response, and it can happen for a lot of different reasons.
Was it sesame seed or cream cheese?
Or when you clutch your pelvis really tightly?
No, it's with a V.
Oh, vagal. It's a Kegel response. I'm sorry.
Yeah.
I thought you said bagel.
So the vagal response, I start to almost pass out. I don't. Everything's going white, and I'm just kind of sitting there in the car. We get to the ER. She wheels me in, and I know it's like this is fucked. And of course, at this point, they haven't taken X-rays. The ER sucks. They took them an hour just to give me an ice pack.
Damn.
Yeah, seriously. Like when that she brought me the ice pack, I was like, oh, thank you. Like
what pain level did you tell them you were at?
They never asked me.
Oh, because they're supposed to say 10 no matter what. Nope. I learned that when I got hit in the face with the puck. I said about 2 or 3.
I'm at fuck hey, you.
By the way, Eric's joining us in the chat, and I just want to give a shout out to Eric. He has been my compadre through this. We've been messaging each other.
You're both from Indiana.
You're bone brothers.
Well,
both of you don't drink enough milk is the problem, right?
I don't know what to say about the bone brothers comment.
Nothing. You just fucking absorb it.
You guys should get matching shirts called the Bone Brothers.
Before you guys dig yourself your own karmic hole, I just want to mention that.
What else could happen to me in my life? Fuck it.
I don't know, but you know, the last time you made fun of me about the Meowsers thing, it was only a few months later and you had your snafu. So we're just saying, hey, look snafu. Out. Yeah. Snafu. When you like fell and on air and passed out and
is that a snafu? I mean it's like
you snafu'd your face, so
I wasn't on a sled, so I
well so anyway, they give me x-rays and they're like, yes, it's broken, you know? And I'm like, yeah, I knew that it was broken, but if it's fractured, and that's really common to actually fracture your collarbone, as Chris has done, twice, correct?
Same collarbone twice.
Fuck.
Sucks. It sucks. Like, that's like the most improbable thing to happen. And I fucking did it. Mine wasn't as bad as yours though. I didn't have like a multiple, compound fractures or whatever.
The shit broke your fall, right?
The what? No, that wasn't where I broke my collarbone. That was a shoulder separation.
Oh, okay.
But when I was in high school, or junior high or high school, I can't remember what it was. I was riding my bike down the hill in my neighborhood to go to meet up for a baseball game. We were getting a ride to a baseball game. You know, like when you're driving, at least in where I grew up, the curbs on the street, if sometimes they had like a little ramp, depending on what type of curb you have, not the stone curbs, but like the asphalt curbs, where like at the end of a driveway, it'd be like almost like a little, like, you know, like a little 6-inch ramp.
We have those here, but in California, we had real curbs.
Yeah. So we don't have real ones here. And I hit that to go off a jump, which you fucking always do. Like if it's there, you hit it. Like there's no ifs, ands, or buts about it. But I was going downhill at the time, and I got some sick air, but I flew over the handlebars.
Nice.
Going downhill, and I landed right here.
I'm just picturing that, because like before even Chris even started talking, I was already picturing like a little Massachusetts Chris out there. Even though he doesn't have a Southie accent, I can just hear him like, "Hey guys, let me check out this. I'm gonna get some wicked air here."
You know? Look at this fucking
Teddy.
This is where I grew up though, which I was actually out there today. But I grew up out in Western Mass, out like in the Springfield area. And out there there's no accent. It's actually where people go to lose accents. I think Tom Brokaw like lived out there for a year or two.
Tom Brokaw, hello.
That sucked, dude. Like, and here's the deal: like, I didn't have as severe of a break as Matt did, but I can tell you, I know the feeling. What would you call it? Kegel response?
Vagal.
Kegel response.
No, don't fucking minimize this. A vagal response is a very serious thing, and it can happen on a lot of different people for a lot of different reasons.
Yeah,
and
he did go home and do his Kegels later.
So when I had my Kegel response, and all jokes aside, the vagal, I didn't know it had a name, but it's totally fucking real. Like, I was getting a ride to the hospital, and I was going in and out of consciousness, and I actually woke up at one point at a stop where at a stoplight. And I fucking threw up all over myself.
So let me tell you right now. You didn't go to the game?
No.
You didn't suck it up, rub some dirt on it?
Let me tell you, when you throw up with a broken collarbone, it's a fucking separate layer of hell.
Yep.
To do that, because like if you haven't broken a collarbone before, you very quickly realize what percentage of your body movements require your fucking collarbone. Yeah. Like, it's ridiculous. I never threw up after a bagel. But it's crazy. Like, every fucking movement that you make requires your collarbone in some way loosely associated. Like, so even just like literally getting up out of bed, sitting up, doing anything, like moving to your left, moving to your right, there's stress that goes on.
Now, now imagine that those bones are separated.
Yeah, dude. Fuck hell.
Time you're thinking, dear God, one of these bones could pierce my skin.
Mm-hmm. So when I threw up on the ride there, and the doctor is like, dude, the fact that you threw up, you made the break worse. So it actually got to that point where it was like a hair away from a compound fracture, meaning they separate. But like, oh, dude, it was awful. And then I did it again, like 2 years later. I was fucking around in my front yard. No, I was fucking around my friend's front yard, and he had like a little tree sapling, and like I think we're playing football or some shit. I don't even remember what it was. And I like went to catch a football, and I saw the sapling out of the corner of my eye, and I wanted to save his fucking tree because I'm an environmentalist in that sense. And I tried to dive out of the way of this fucking baby tree, and I didn't, and I hit it, and I tried to cushion the tree, but I didn't, and it flipped over on top of my head, and then boom, cracked it. I snapped the same fucking bone, which is almost improbable to happen, because once you break a bone and it mends, it becomes like fucking Wolverine titanium and shit, and you can't break it again. But I found a way. I fucking found a way. And yes,
I found a way. I found a way.
Oh my gosh, this is making me feel
snap, crackle, pop. Better. I found a way.
Yeah, yeah. So, but here's the deal, Matt. I know your fucking pain. I know what you're going through. It's the worst, and I hope you feel better soon.
Let me just share with you a picture. I told my wife during this whole process, I was like, take a picture of me. And she's like, why? I was like, I don't know.
Because it's memories.
Yeah, memories. So this is me in the ER.
Dude, you are absolutely fucking rubbing one out without people knowing.
Bad to the bone, I guess. Yeah.
All right, Randy wants me to finish my story. You'll have to stay tuned.
No, actually, Randy's yelling at us to let you finish your story.
Us.
Okay,
probably me, but whatever. Go ahead. Finish your story.
Randy's
nobody cares about Chris's broken arm.
I'm in the hospital or in the ER, and this is where things got just fucking sideways.
I can't believe you picked that gown to wear. That didn't really matter.
Because I didn't pick fucking anything.
Jeans, by the way?
That is the
most fucking Indiana thing you could have done is gone sledding while wearing Levi's.
My wife took them off, actually. I actually had snow pants. If you want me to go get them, I'll show them off.
Yeah, I think you're wearing jeans the whole time. You're getting Sawyer flashbacks. You're out there.
Exactly. I was going to say,
wearing jeans, they would be wet with snow, assholes. No,
So you changed your pants and were put on jeans?
No, I had jeans on, and then I had the snow pants that go over.
That's the second most Ohio thing you could do is wearing jeans under the snow pants.
It's smart because it keeps me fucking warm.
I was going to say something. When was the last time your skin saw any sun? You're pretty pasty white in that, but go ahead.
I thought you guys were responsible for like the first flight and shit. You clearly didn't fly
in Indiana. Yeah, well, I mean, he got some air.
I was able to kind of tell this story to my students today in 10 minutes. 10 minutes, that's all it took me.
You know why? Because they're like, oh, do we have
to? Well, they saw the drawing.
Why are we in this
class? God, is this the best you could do?
I could do that. Matt.
By the way,
I learned something in Matt's class. There you go.
I'm having a beer tonight.
Good for you. Did you actually think for a moment that you were going to be able to get this story out in 10 minutes on this show?
That's what she said.
I mean, if you did, like, you're sorely mistaken. So
yeah.
I would have to drop all you assholes out of this.
You probably have about 3 or 4 more points we're going to jump in and try to destroy. But go ahead.
Okay. Yeah. All right. So the ER
have an ending?
The ER was just really shitty because basically
the first thing I said was this fucker was wearing jeans while sledding.
There was no hospital nearby.
I don't want to touch him.
Yeah.
I could. There's no hospital nearby that I could actually
like, cut off the jeans. Why? You're to show.
I'm just going to remove all of the other people right now so that I can finish like this one part of the story. So there was no place around that I could actually get this surgery done immediately, unless I went to downtown Indianapolis, which was about a 30-minute ride. And I honestly didn't think that my arm could take that. So they scheduled it with a hospital. And they were basically like, okay, we talked to somebody and they'll be able to get you in on Monday. And I'm like, okay, great. They're going to send the x-rays there. There's a doctor on staff that will be able to take care of it. And so and they prescribed me some pain meds that night. And I'm thinking, all right, this is awesome. I can go there Monday morning. I'll get this operation. And I'll be Johnny on the spot, like better. Right. So, but that doesn't happen because as I call the place on Monday morning promptly, because they said, oh, they open at 7:30. Call them at 7:30. No, we called at 8. Or no, we called and they were like, oh, no, it opens at 8. I'm just like, fuck, okay. Call, and they're like, oh, yeah, the doctor will call you back an hour later. I'm calling them up, and I'm like, look, I'm in pain here. Well, we need to see you for a consultation. I'm like, a consultation? I'm in pain here. Like, this bone could pop through my skin. I need a surgery now. It's like that deal or no deal. Like, well, the best we can do is a consultation. And I'm like, fuck. Oh, by the way, the pain meds, the place that they sent the pain meds to, they said, oh, they're open till 10. So you're good. No, they closed at 8 PM. And guess what time we were headed there. We were headed home at 8:30. So fuck, couldn't get pain meds. So they called it to a different place. My wife had to drive and get pain meds for me. All right. I'll let these asshole jokers back in.
You muted, Chris.
So did they cut off the jeans?
Yeah.
Because they're like, why are you cutting the jeans? It's his arm. No, but he's wearing fucking jeans.
And you know, they're all stuck to him because they're wet. And it's just like,
yeah, like cotton, gross.
Straight. They're basically like leather pants at that point. It's like, I'm not sure if the pain is from the collarbone or these jeans like just gripping his nuts. I don't know what's going on here. Like, yeah. So.
All right. Well, I don't know what I missed, but I don't know.
Matt, okay. Well, I'm glad that all joking aside, I'm glad that you are in a
don't
better
you
want to
see the other pictures?
No.
Yes. I want to see the other pictures. I you took the time to take them.
Oh, see, look at your better spirits.
Yeah, so well, you have a much better gown too.
This is on Wednesday. I'm in the hospital and I'm about ready to go in for surgery.
I dig the mint chocolate chip motif.
This was a nicer hospital, a little bit more upscale with the mint.
I like the paneling behind it. So it's like the 70s.
And
it was like all fancy.
That's a divider.
And then I had my wife take this other one. I don't know why. This was when I most felt like Darth Vader because they
oh my god, yeah.
I don't know if I can zoom in on this,
dude. Picture. Why is your mask on your chin? It's like having your dick.
He's got
out
a thermometer in his mouth. Yeah.
Oh, okay,
why
sense.
Is my what?
Why oh no, he's got a breathing thing.
I took my mask down. So and by the way, nobody else was in the room except for my wife at that point.
Why are you wearing glasses?
You wear glasses.
Whoops, I didn't mean to do that. They actually gave me, and this was a sweet part right here. They see this little rose glass case. The nurse that helped me, and she was so sweet. She was really nice. She knew that I was like I couldn't see very well, and so she brought in this like little glass case for me. And she was like, I'm sorry, they're all feminine. And this was this one moment. And it, maybe it's just me, but it was like that reminded me of my mom. And it was just this little sweet moment of knowing
I'm
that she was
there. I'm glad
I
didn't make a joke there. I feel better.
Well, just to have like that little like she was there with me, you know? Yeah. And I said this on the Facebook group. I've had 7 surgeries on my right arm since I was a baby. And that's one of my earliest memories. And so I have a bit of a kind of a trauma associated with those surgeries. So you know, I'm a jokester, and when I'm nervous, I joke. I kid. That's what I do. Like, you know, I kid. And so this nurse, she's getting me ready, right? And she was really nice and, you know, easy on the eyes. but there was this funny moment, though, where she said, okay, well, I need to ask you a few questions. So would you like your wife to leave the room? And I was like, no.
Oh, yeah.
I said, no, she can stay, like, you know. And she was like, okay, real quick, did you take off your underwear? And I was like, is this why you wanted my wife to leave?
And are they denim?
Thanks. Sure. I was wearing sweatpants.
Matt got discharged.
Very, very easy action there. Now the second
he got discharged. All right.
The second moment happened. I had this thing in the back of my mind where I kept thinking about like how lame it is that I got this injury from sledding, and so I kept thinking in the back of my mind of something that would be really funny or cool to say about this injury, and so the anesthesiologist comes in, the doctor. And the doctor that's just for the anesthesia, and he's fixing me up with some drugs. I don't know what he's behind me at this point. And the drugs start kicking in. And I seriously don't remember saying this, but I remember the reaction of my wife and the nurses.
Okay, Cuomo. I mean, go ahead.
And so one of the nurses, like my wife, comes in like, oh, you can come in now. And the nurse says, he told us that he didn't injure his sledding, but from a sex swing accident. And my wife is just like, what?
That explains the genes.
And I was like,
pull the curtain back a little bit here for everyone listening at home. There is a period of time in which your wife was texting us on your behalf.
Mm-hmm. Yes. Oh, yeah. Mm-hmm.
And we were trying to get this story, like, this is what we were looking for, but she didn't break. So your wife is a trustworthy wife indeed.
She was probably dealing with her own amount of stress, but I did tell her, though, there was a list of people. I said, as soon as I'm out of surgery, as soon as I'm fine, I want you to text, you know. And I listed off certain family members, and I listed off you guys. I don't know why, hey. You guys are fucking assholes to me every week, but I wanted you to know that I was okay. And
we were all. We were
can I ask you a question?
Yeah.
Where on the list were we?
Yeah. How many people were ahead of
yeah,
us?
Yeah. So how many people were on the list? Number one.
My dad, my siblings.
Your stepsister?
Yeah.
Who was called after us, or who was texted after us?
I don't know, because I wasn't there.
Was it like an hour later?
It was a while, because so they wheel me into surgery, and by the way, I'm at this point, like, they're wheeling me into surgery, and I'm going into the operating room, and they're playing music loud, like Doctor Strange style. Like, they're like, you know, like, woohoo, we're playing some rock music. And I know a lot of music. I did not recognize it, because I was like, what is this? And and then I say to the doctor, I was like, can you put Wi-Fi in there? I also did, like, it was funny, because the doctor said, you know, he has to verify. He's like, no, I'm doing the right arm, right? And I said, yes, correct. You're doing the right arm. And I said, there's three bones, two bones and a fragment. And you're going to find that fragment, and you're going to piece that in there. And he's like, oh, good, you remembered. I was like, as long as you remember.
Right.
You know, I was like, I'm saying this because I want you to remember to find that bone fragment. I don't want this bone fragment, like, falling around.
It's okay. Eventually,
one day it comes up to the top of the skin. It's just like poking out. You're like, what the hell is that?
Yeah. So
finally.
Okay. So I'm in surgery for a really long ass time. And my wife's just like, the nurse came out and said, okay, you should be out in about a half an hour. An hour later, she's still like, what is going on? Like, she told me this, like, it'd be a half an hour. And then the doctor comes out, and he takes her to a separate room, and she's like, oh fuck, like what's going on, you know? Jesus. And he's just like, oh, everything's fine. He's, you know, he's recovering, you know, and he was a lot more laid back. It took me like a couple hours to actually like get
out of the anesthesia.
Now I had one huge setback. So ever since the surgery, I've been doing great every day, a little bit better. And I've been trying to wean myself off the pain meds, 'cause I fucking hate that opioid. I just wish I had some edibles or something it messes with you. Like your body sends you signals like, hey man, you got any more of that? You
know, once that blocker wears off though.
Oh, the blocker was.
You got it. Because we talked about the blocker.
So they put a blocker in so that like my entire right arm was completely numb. So it felt like somebody else's arm. Jack and I had actually chatted about this. I get home and I feel this phantom arm. It's like my arm's extending out forward, even though my arm's like this in a sling. I can feel this other arm and it's cold. At one point, it's itchy. And I can even feel it pressing up against something. And I'm like, there's nothing there, dude. Wake up. I know Chris wanted me to dress it up and have
paint your nails, because when you rub one out, it's going to see like it's somebody else. they call that the stranger.
I don't think I could do it. There was no movement there. I couldn't move my arm at all. It was just a dead arm. And that's when Jack was in operation.
That's bad dates that way too.
Well, I told you, I said, I'm sitting there and I have to go to the bathroom and they've already got my blocker already started everything. I said, look, I got to take a shit. And they go, you can't. I go, look, either I do it here or do it on the operating table. I go, right. I go, I have to go. They're going, you can't. I go, all right, then I'm going home. I'm going home. I'm not doing the surgery. I'm not shitting my pants on the operating table.
Jack, before you do shit your pants, there's one thing that we probably should do, though.
Yes.
And that's
take a commercial break.
Jack's job.
So anyway, then
you shit your pants.
I did not shit my pants. I said, so I got up and you know how the gown doesn't cover you all the way. I got to walk through
everything. Just bent over and blew ass right there.
I got my ass hanging out. I go to the thing and I go in the bathroom. And
Is it like the right stuff?
Exactly. I'm kind of walking like that.
Yeah.
And I hear this loud slam. I go, what the hell was that? What was my arm? And hand just like slamming into the wall. I'm like going, and I'm like going, I'm trying to get it back to, and it did my business, went back and said, okay, I'm ready to go. But that block. And then they kept saying, when that blocker wears off, because I first day I didn't take any pain. I said, I'm out actually outside pulling weeds with my other arm because I'm so bored sitting down. Next day, oh my God.
Yeah.
Mine didn't last that long. Mine was over at least by 6 a.m. the next morning. And the whole time I had something in my right hand because I didn't want it to.
Well, they gave me this. Well, they didn't give it to me. My insurance company paid for it. It looked like a igloo cooler that holds water and ice and had like a little hose with a thing to go on my shoulder. You know, whatever it was, like $800.
Yeah, they called it a cryo cuff. I remember that.
It literally cost like $10 to make.
It's literally like it's like one of those coolers you get on the sidelines of a soccer practice with a goddamn tube connected to it and an ace bandage.
Oh, it works because
they really do work.
Keep it numb, but it's like I go, really? I could have made this for $20. I had to pay $800 for this.
Right.
Boy, the markup on that, huh?
And this was 11 years ago. Whatever it was.
One last thing that I'll just say about the whole thing, my setback, my big setback, and that's why I wanted to talk about the vagal response, is that on Saturday, I was able to, like, I had to wait 3 days until I could actually take the bandage off and actually shower or clean myself. And so I'm
You didn't have your jeans on in the shower, did you?
No,
they cut them off. Okay. I mean, there are probably little pieces left where they ripped the flesh off, you know, to get them.
They're probably
off,
like they're probably like Daisy Dukes now, aren't they?
Yeah. That bandage stuff though, the adhesive that they use, I still have adhesive residue.
Yeah.
But the
It's good stuff, man.
I always thank God I'm not a hairy person, because a few times they have put that shit, like you bandage and wraps and stuff on me, and they rip it off. And
it's still right underneath my armpit area here.
When I was in the hospital.
You had your nipples worked on? That's what you're touching.
Yeah, well, they put all those chest, you know, their chest.
Oh, right, yeah, yeah.
And they don't shave you, and it's like rip, rip, rip. And like you're saying, that adhesive, I couldn't get it. It literally took me like a week of scrubbing my body to get that shit off.
Yeah.
They put mine on my back for some reason.
Nail polish remover in the future.
Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Or acetone. We'll get it right. So
on Saturday, I'm like, oh, great. You know, I get to take a shower. You know, this is going to be great. So I get in the bathtub, actually. And I looked up like online, like, you know, you make a saline solution of your own, you know, not just pure water, but a little bit of salt actually helps kind of release that adhesive. And so I'm putting that on there, I'm soaking it, and I'm removing that bandage, and I get it removed, and I'm counting the stitches, 'cause I haven't seen the wound yet. And it's pretty fucking big. It starts from right up here and goes down to like,
oh, they went down.
Right
wow.
up here. It's wow. big. It's, yeah. it's like a good 10 inches with 10 stitches. And, and so I'm looking at it, and I see a little bit of red, and I don't know what it was. Again, it's that vagal response of like responding to that. I also had gone off the pain meds that day, and it was like the perfect storm. It was like, because being in the bath and being warmer can trigger it. The actual pain med, and then seeing the wound itself. And fortunately my wife was right there. I said, I don't feel good. And I start to pass out, and I go, she says that I go out, and I come to, and I see her silhouette just kind of come in out of white, like everything goes white. And she's helping me out of the bathtub and sitting me down on the bath or on the toilet there. And I pass out again, and she's holding on to me. I'm, you know, and my head's limp. She said my face went completely gray. All the blood went out of my face. She said I passed out a total of 3 times. That third time I passed out was weird, because it was like, you know, I couldn't tell you what I saw. But there were
you invented the flux capacitor.
I wish I could remember what I saw, because it was random imagery. If only.
Do you know what this means? I finally invented something. It works.
That's not how my wife felt about it. She's never going to forget that moment, because I think she thought she was losing me. And I came to, and I was hugging her, and she's hugging me, and then I'm just cold, so cold. So what happens is your blood pressure completely drops, your heart rate slows way down. And the best thing to do if somebody's going into a vagal response, passing out or fainting for whatever reason, is if you can get them to lay down first, and B, get them to lift their legs, or you lift their legs for you, because all of the blood in the legs will go to the body. So for everybody that's at home that wants a little bit of medical story behind, you know, what to do next time somebody has a vagal response around you or looks like they're going to pass out, have them lay down, lift up their legs, and they will come to. You don't want to see them.
If the face is red, lift up the head. If the face is pale, lift up the tail.
I've never heard of that. I've heard of righty tighty, lefty loosey, but I've never heard of that one.
Learned that in my first aid certification.
First day certification?
First aid.
First aid. I thought you said
first date too, but
yeah, like,
well, you know.
that can make sense in some ways too.
Yeah. Anyway, that's my story. Yeah. That's all
I'm
I got to tell you.
That with a fucking Kegel. Well, Matt, I'm glad that you are better and you've gotten through the shittiness of it. And
it sucks you had to wait so long for the surgery. How are you sleeping?
The sleeping is a little rough. I've been trying to wean myself off the pain meds, because what I've been doing is I've just been using it at night. I've been taking one, you know, like right before bed, and then I'll take one when I wake up. But I really don't like them. And so my aunt, who had knee surgery recently, she recommended this Tylenol for arthritis. It's an 8-hour Tylenol. It's a slow release Tylenol. So one of the things that's in the hydrocortisone or whatever they prescribed is a bit of acetaminophen. So if you're taking the Tylenol, you're getting a steady stream of that acetaminophen. And yeah, there's pain and I feel it, you know, pretty much, you know, but it makes me feel alive, you know.
Yeah.
And I've been taking melatonin to help kind of like, you know, so I've been trying to fool myself. So when I wake up, I'm like, as opposed to taking the pain med, I'll take a melatonin to help kind of knock me out or help.
Not to compare the severity of the two, but melatonin addiction can be also terrible. Be careful of taking too much of the melatonin, because I'm not saying you are, but if you got to that point, like the more melatonin you take,
I do have
the more you need to fall asleep because your body adjusts that.
You want to know the dosage that I take? It's a one milligram tablet.
Oh wow!
Right, but there's gonna be if you consistently take 1 milligram tablets before bed, it's gonna be a point where it's not gonna do anything, and you have to move to two.
I take these to sleep.
There you go. So, yeah.
Xanax is the same way. Like I know people that you know have bad anxiety.
Yeah,
you know Xanax. Like you get a tolerance.
That's our sponsor, by the way.
Yeah, my father-in-law is he has a hard time sleeping. He's up till 4 o'clock in the morning. I think in sleeps during the midday. He can't go to bed. And he got to a point, remember, when I first started dating Amanda back in the early 2000s, I remember he was going through a melatonin issue where he was taking melatonin, but he was taking so much of it that, like, it didn't work. And then what he had to do is he had to, like, wean himself off and, like, not take it for, like, a couple of weeks and then start taking it again. But it was just a bad cycle for him.
Yeah, I needed to. I can't sleep without it.
That's where edibles helped you through the night, correct, Jack?
Yeah.
Like it helped you get over. And I love edibles.
Well, like I said, with the back, sometimes it hurts. So, you know, it's you're in pain, so you can't sleep.
John also in the chat mentions that he had kidney stone earlier this month. And kidney stone is one of the worst pains.
Yeah. Thankfully, I've never had a kidney stone, but I have a couple of friends of mine.
I watched that episode of Seinfeld.
I've been reduced to a ball of tears after having a kidney stone. That's no joke.
Well, if you've seen Deadwood,
But I, you know, John's saying no side effects. I've had side effects where basically, like, my body is like giving me like hot and cold signals, or you know, headache, like a little faint headache, like, hey man, hey, you got any more of that Narco, man? Or Norco. So anyway,
let me think of Deadwood. He ended up having to stick something up him, didn't he, in Deadwood, rip it out.
Oh.
Well, yeah, he stuck something up and then Trixie massaged him and
right
him up and they, you know,
but still it's just like, Come on, my God.
Get it out of here.
Yeah. So I had a buddy of mine, my buddy Jeff, he gets them all the time. Like he's probably had maybe half a dozen over the last couple, 3 years.
Really?
And the last one he took, I remember he was out this side. He lives out in San Diego, but he was out here at the time. And water. He was telling me, he's like, let me show you this picture.
It's never a good
fucking
idea.
Fucking asshole. He pulled out this picture of his dick.
So he's you.
He's pulled out this picture of his dick. And it's like, he's got like this like cord in that he had. Okay, all right. He had to fucking pull out of himself.
You need to give listeners.
You're gonna trigger vagal reactions.
Yeah, vagal. All right, so let's switch it up a little bit.
That's the ramble cast, John.
I'm glad you're better.
Thanks. I appreciate all of the well wishes on Facebook and the social medias and what have you. So each day is just a little bit better. So
yeah, I was afraid that I might not make it on the podcast, but I was okay. Jack saw I went skiing Sunday for the third time ever in my life, and my friend Jess,
show me up. I see how it is.
My friend Jess was like, "Oh, my friend Matt's going to come."
I thought it was stupid. You were snowing and you're skiing in jeans, though.
I had proper attire. But my friend Jess was like, "Oh, my friend Matt wants to come with you. He wants to teach you, you know, because And she didn't tell me that he was an alternate on the 2010, I think, Winter Olympic team. And like, I'm like, you realize that this is my third time ever going, right? She's like, yeah, but he's like, he likes to teach. So he just wants to go and like see what you're doing and teach you. I'd only fallen once. This fucker made me fall like every other minute. You know?
That's how you learn.
That's how you learn. But, yeah, man, but like
lessons learned.
He couldn't just let me like stay on the bunny slope or the, you know, he's like, no, no, no. You got to push yourself, man. You got to keep doing this. And this is how you turn. This is how you do this. And like it's the whole damn day, we're skiing. And it's when we get there, it's -2. But with the wind chill, it was saying it was like -20. And of course we're all bundled up and everything. But as I'm driving away, I feel my body start to de-thaw. And all of a sudden I'm like, man, my wrists are tightening up. And I drop him off. And by the time I get back on the road, I can't move my hands. From the fucking impact of me catching myself on this hard snow and hard ground over and over and over.
You're not supposed to use your hand to break.
Right. But I mean, but that's what I was doing. And so like,
I literally broke my hand once doing that.
That's what I thought I had done. By the time I got home, like just to move my arms, and my hands, I couldn't do it. They were just locked. All the metatarsals had just inflamed and just locked up my entire wrists. And so I got the heating pads out and the ice and I'm just like, fuck. I was like, did I break my wrists? Did I sprain them? I don't know what I did. And then sure enough, though, well, I woke up.
You're old and trying a new sport.
That's what I mean. Yeah. I mean, and, but you know, luckily like the next day when I woke up, I could like move them just slightly. You know, and then now they're pretty much back to normal, but it's just like, it scared the shit out of me.
So this squirrel, yeah. don't go skiing with the Olympic skier.
Yeah. I mean, he did finally let up on me. I'm like, look, man, I was like, I'm 40. Okay, I was like, I'm not out here like you trying to push myself and be the baddest guy on the mountain. I just want to casually, you know, go back and forth, be like, oh, isn't that cool? Like, I'm not out here to.
I want to get on the lift without falling down.
Yeah.
And get down the hill without falling down.
I'm good, man.
Like, I don't want to be that guy.
I was actually worried about Nick because it was like we were talking about Legos and Star Wars, you know, and then all of a sudden it was like, what happened to Nick? And then I was like, man, he lives up there in Colorado all alone. What's he doing? Maybe he just like, I don't know. Like who can check on him? Like, how would we know? You know, like,
true.
So, you know, I mean, it's one of those things.
Is Nick ever going to sing a song again? Is that?
Well, that's what I thought at first. Like, I'm not going to have a song because I can't fucking move my hands. I was like, okay, I'm good.
Well, I'm glad.
Well, I don't have any crazy injuries or, exotic stories to share this week, but I did take my mom to get vaccinated today.
Nice. Oh, or second round, huh? Yeah.
First round.
Oh,
first round. Okay. First round, yeah. So she got her first of her first the Moderna shots. Yeah. Yeah. So I don't know how it is where you guys all are, but the registration and sign up system in Massachusetts is just fucked.
Oh, it's fine.
I'm last. I'll be the last person to be able to go. I'm like five, and I'm seeing people every day posting. I go, I got at least 20 years on this person. How are they going ahead of me?
Because you can get on put on a waiting list. And had we known about it?
I think people are lying about what they're.
No. Like during the big storm, they had to like throw out a bunch of stuff. But had we known, we could have just like gone and gotten the first shot ourselves because they had to.
Yeah.
There's so many cancellations during the big storm a couple of weeks ago. So I'm glad
that there's also a website you might want to be interested in. It's called Hi Dr. B, HIDRB,
I think it is. It sounds legit.
So, well, everybody. It is. So
it's down by a van down by the river. Come get your shot.
Government issued cheese. It's a website. It's a third party website that partners with. It's a third party website that partners with all like the medical centers across the country, and like medical centers can sign up to be a part of it. And what it is they have, you know, every one of these locations actually has, as Matt was mentioning, they have like a number of vaccines that just get thrown away because they can't.
And that's a shame, too. That's
so sad. this third-party website partners with those who want to jump in. And if you fill out your all the information, if you qualify for getting a shot, you can get a text message sent to you saying, hey, There are vaccines available at X site. If you can get there in 2 hours, like hit yes, and then you can go and get your vaccine. So hidrb.com. And the other news, so I watched a show randomly, didn't have any intention of like seeking this out, but it just popped up and I decided to watch it. And it was CW's Superman and Lois.
Oh.
I don't know if you guys have heard about this or not.
I've heard about it. I've seen.
It was fucking great. Like it was, and I think I tweeted out. I go, this is the best thing that the DC property that's been out outside of Wonder Woman in the past. I don't know how long. It was really good. So the premise of the story, it's a new show.
That's him, yeah.
it's a new show on the CW network that's in the Arrowverse for it's in the Arrowverse for those who are familiar. But it's a story about Superman and Lois Lane. They are married. She knows his secret. Spoilers. The whole nine.
She finally figured out that it's Clark Kent.
Yeah. So that they know, she knows the secret, and they have two teenage sons.
Oh,
and they end up moving back to Smallville because of a few different scenarios. And it's about Superman, who's kind of already run he's made his run of being the worldwide known superhero, and how he's, you know, adjusting to life back on the small and in Smallville while raising two boys. I didn't know much about it.
They have superpower strength.
So you need to watch the show. That's a big part of the plot.
No, I like the setup there. It's cool.
I'll tell you, I was very pleasantly surprised at the quality of the show. Were you
Pleasantville-y surprised?
That'd be Smallville-y surprised. It's definitely worth a look. I believe the second episode's out today, but I've only seen the pilot, and I'm looking forward to the next episode. It was a lot of fun.
You know what? I might check that out. Go ahead.
I was saying, speaking of a show that we haven't really talked much about is, you know, WandaVision's coming to a close, I think.
Yes!
It's going Friday.
I haven't seen the latest episode.
Oh, here, I'll just remove you.
So I'll going back two episodes ago when we found out the reality of one of the characters in town.
Yes.
The big reveal of one of them.
I saw that.
I was underwhelmed by that episode. Really, I really was. Like, when I was like, oh, okay.
You talking about the new villain, or you mean the brother?
The new villain.
Okay, that was new the villain. Last
yeah,
week.
Yeah, 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 yeah. Or, yeah, yeah. It really was. It was very underwhelming to me. And I think I was on Lonely Island with that one. I remember when I talked to you, it was like, oh my god, it was so fucking good. But I'm like, it wasn't that great. I don't know, it wasn't awesome. This past week's episode, however, which I won't repeat anything for Jack, good. I don't want him to hear. That was great.
To be fair, I've been watching The Office. So.
The only thing I didn't quite understand about this, the newest episode, was the very beginning. You know, where it's back in the past. Because like I always like explanations of things of like what happens in the circle. I'm like, well, how is that happening?
She's
in the center of the circle, and then all the other people, all the stuff that happens is like they didn't really explain how this was happening. It's just kind of like, okay, and
it's
then,
just happening.
Well, I thought it was cool because I'm trying to phrase this in a way that Jack's not going to feel.
Just take your spoiled. Earbuds out.
Jack. Go ahead. I won't remember.
I won't spoil it.
No, go ahead.
I think that retrospect did a really nice job of explaining the why shit was happening the way it was. So like everything that we've seen over the past, like, you know, 6-7 episodes is a happy memory of hers as a kid because she sat on the couch with her family. Mm. And watched these shows, and it was all the shows in which the season's been modeled after, which I thought was actually really kind of, I think it's kind of sweet, you know. It was cool.
Okay, that's not what I'm talking about.
Yeah, I said that. I said that.
You did say that.
It's weird that I said that, but I stand by it.
It was sweet.
And then I'm curious about, because the person I thought was the bad guy, the true bad person in the show, has been yet to be revealed. And I've always thought it's just one person, but he's a male. And
is he bald? Does he have no hair?
Lex Luthor.
No, that's every bad person.
But I think it's this person. And, you know, I think that
Mr. Clean.
He's
sorry, Nick, go ahead.
My theory is that, you know, that is Ultron. That Ultron never really was fully defeated. And this whole time they're trying to get Vision's body back because Ultron wants to take the body.
Let's go, James Spader. Bring him back.
Right. And so like that'll be a really messed up thing to see her having to fight Vision, you know. So which would just build on top of all the crap she's already had to deal with. Yeah. You know.
A-plus in the show though, it's been another surprise. I mean, I guess I can't really call it a surprise. I just didn't really follow the whole lead up to it. I didn't have the anticipation for it. But once I started watching it, I was like, "Oh, this is fucking great." So,
well, to me, that was my only issue with it was that I already kind of had that figured out. You know, like in episode one or two, it's like, "Oh, she's clearly manifesting all this," and I was like, "So let's just get on with it." And it just
I had no clue what was going on the first two episodes.
All right, Jack. And I didn't. I'm just being honest. It seemed to me like it's like, okay, this is a lot of buildup. You know, this better pay off. You know,
and it better pay off, or someone's going to pay.
Yeah, exactly. Man. Breaking collarbones right and left.
That happens. He's not even paying attention. I didn't see.
I'm not. I'm trying to bring up. We have a couple emails, but yeah, Jack.
We have two.
My wife and I went and saw Judas to the Black Messiah. Black Panther story. It was really, really, really good. I enjoyed it. I mean, I knew a lot was going to happen because I recently started watching. There's a lot of stuff on the Black Panthers right now, and so I wasn't shocked by anything because it was done really well. I enjoyed it.
Yeah, that's on HBO Max right now too, I think.
The Black Messiah?
Yeah. The Black Messiah.
Yeah. I was just trying to figure out, most of them I'm sitting there, I go, okay, what were they in? The one guy, the Judas guy is in Atlanta.
Yeah,
he's the funny stoner guy in Atlanta. So it's hard. Yeah. At first it was kind of hard to separate it, but he does a really good job of acting in that.
So I've been trying to find that series that I can pick up now because I have a void. So I completed all of my Star Wars animation. I'm done with Clone Wars. I'm done with Rebels.
Did you watch Ted Lasso?
I introduced you to Ted Lasso. So I'm looking.
Don't
for
make
that
me
next
laugh
thing.
At my collarbone here.
I mean,
it might be held together by metal.
For All Mankind season 2.
Oh yes. 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 So For All Mankind season 2. I've been watching. It's so good. It's so good. And this last episode of the show actually kind of brings something to light, pun intended. Of a phenomenon that happens that we don't necessarily think about when it comes to people being in space. So it's actually very, very cool. Visually awesome. The show is great, and I still have a crush on Penny Widmore. she's on the show. But that's good. But here's the problem, right, is that like I'm looking for that thing I can binge. I can just pick up and watch whenever I ever want to. But now with like Superman Lois, great show. I'm excited for it. For All Mankind, their weekly releases. So it's like, I gotta fucking wait. Like it's 2003 again, but oh well.
Yeah. I'm watching Justified and The Office right now.
Yeah. I'm doing a Chuck rewatch.
Stop after season 3, I think.
Well, I haven't watched Chuck since it originally aired. And for some reason it popped in my head. It's like, I want to watch Chuck. I haven't watched Chuck since aired in 2007, ended like 2012 or something like that. I was like, I'm going to start watching Chuck in. And I'm almost done with season 1. I'm like, it's such a cute little show. You know?
Remember the Subway, like, fam?
Yeah. Yeah. That was like season 3 or 4. Yeah.
Oh, man. And then there was another show around that time frame. I forgot which one it was. What was it called? It was with the devil in
the blue dress?
Lucifer?
Yeah, no.
That was
Lucifer was in the show, but it was about this kid who was... I can't remember the plot. Anyways. Mm-hmm.
It was about a kid who was reincarnated as a beetle, but he was dead the whole time.
His name was Paul McCartney. So that's my request, you know, because I know we have some emails to get to, Matt. Here's my request. Send in your recommendations for bingeable series that we can pick up.
Matt Treese says Lupin on Netflix.
Lupin? Is that a Harry Potter Lupin? Reference?
I don't know. Or a werewolf reference. So.
Yeah, right. Sure. Well.
Are we doing emails or are we going to go into the verses?
Right.
You want to save the verses for next week or you want to?
Well, I did the Beatles thing for this.
I'm just throwing it out there, man. Just throwing it out there.
And Nick had his like Wings song. When is he ever going to do a Wings opener? Huh?
It's true.
I mean, this one email by Joanne, I mean, she's a little bit behind, so she's not even going to get this podcast for another, you know. Yeah. <weeks. laughs>
It's Frenchie says. I don't even have to.
Let's jump into the Beatles real quick and see what we can come up with, because I'm curious as to what you guys came up with your ideas.
I haven't even looked yet, so I guess
you haven't. I'm ready to rock.
You ready to rock and roll?
Yeah.
All right. Let me. Does anybody else want to roll the dice? Because I seem to fuck it up every time.
It's because you cheat.
So, yeah. no, go ahead. Chris, you bring up the dice roller and I'll share your screen. Okay.
I don't even know. You go ahead, Matt.
So, the premise of, well, no, I'm going to let Chris do it and then I'll share his screen and Chris can be in charge of the dice roll.
What am I doing? Dice roll?
All yeah, right. Dice roll. You're on it. And I'll share your screen when you get
porn
it.
Out of the way.
You were looking at porn. Do. Beatles porn.
Dice roller.
By the way, for those that are
sport, this video has been deleted by Yoko.
We had talked about doing a Beatles covers, so like the best Beatle covers songs, essentially. So, and there's a lot of them. I mean, and a lot of really good ones out there too. So I think we kind of mentioned it on the last podcast, and we kind of shelved it this week. So. Oh, here we go. I see it right there. Boom. So,
all right. So, we're going to roll two die.
Okay.
Two die. Right.
Okay. And who's going first?
Let Matt go first. He's the injured guy.
What? Sure. I'll go first.
Matt's rolling first. Here we go. Clickaroo for Matt. Matt got an 8.
Ooh. Matt got an 8.
Cheater. All right. We'll go down the left column here. So, Jack, you are next. You are going to get a.
Eight. What kind of website is this?
Yeah.
Nick,
someone Matt uses, I'll get a snake eye.
Crazy eight.
4.
told you.
And for me, 5.
5.
Okay. Huh, so okay. This is Matt and Jack. This is going to be who's going to go first.
It's a Matt off. I'll go first.
Ooh, 10 for Matt.
10? Bullshit.
And Jack.
I don't know how he's cheating.
9. So, it's going to be Matt.
Son bitch. Son bitch, man.
And Nick. All right, gentlemen, let's roll. Or let's go.
You got
roll.
The Ringo position.
Oh, man, this is really tough because there's so many good ones. And I have to go back to the whole song that started this idea for me, because it really kind of, it was a song that just kind of was like, whoa, like this song is really great. It's a really great rendition. Very early in his career. I'm going with We Can Work It Out by Stevie Wonder. I love that song.
That was my first choice.
Really?
Yeah.
It's solid. It's so good. And it's got so much soul and I think it's an improvement. It's really like, and that's what I was kind of looking for a song, you know, or something that takes it to the next level. I will say that my runners up for those that, well, we can save that for the end, but I have a couple other runners up that, would be the Booker T and the MGs version of the last half of Abbey Road. I really like that medley that they do. It's so good, and just that Booker T sound. So that would have been kind of my other pick if so. But I'm going with Stevie Wonder, and that's a really great album too that's on, which is on the Signed, Sealed, Delivered album.
Isn't she lovely?
Nope, that's a different album.
I know, I'm just throwing it out there.
For the record, I am currently listening to my pick, and it's fucking awesome. That's just a preview.
Oh, is it my turn?
Yeah, your turn, Jack. Apparently,
I'm going to go with Joe Cocker's With a Little Help from My Friends.
See, the apple doesn't fall far from the J.
Well, you took mine.
Okay.
And I'm on the Wonder Years every day.
Why do you hate the Wonder Years? Why?
Why did you pick it, Jack?
Because you took mine, so I picked my second pick. I know. I like that version of it. I mean, just I like it.
Okay.
Normally, I don't like a singer like that. It's like, but he's a. I like him for some reason. So there you go.
My pick. While My Guitar Gently Weeps, as performed by
The Live.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Tom Petty, Jeff Lynne, Steve Winwood, and the man, the myth, the fucking legend.
That's a good one.
That was my third choice.
So I choose this. First of all, the song is fucking great. Like, the song is awesome.
I'm glad to get the chat.
Nice, Bill Cosby. The song is phenomenal on its own. So the Beatles version of the song is incredible. But this performance from, I think it was early 2000s. I can't remember when it was.
It was 20 years ago today.
Shit, it's right here.
Wasn't it the Rock and Roll Hall of
Fame? 2004. I apologize. 2004.
Was it the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame?
I think it was. Yeah, I think it was.
There's some really good
performances. Prince's solo is like.
Yeah. It's because we've talked about Jay and I. Face melting. About it.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Oh, his Prince's solo is like it's Ace incredible. Number. It's like it's what people need to like gauge their ability to play the guitar. It's like, am I Prince or am I not? Or what do I have to do to become Prince? Because that is like the gold standard, and he like just takes over. And there's a point in there too where Tom Petty tries to bring it back. Prince is like, "Fuck you, I'm still going." Yeah. Like he's like, "I'm still rocking out." It's one of the best performances I've ever seen.
I wonder if they're rocking out in heaven right now.
So George died in 01, and I forget what year. I want to say it's 2007, I think is when it was, when he was inducted into the Rock and Roll Hall of Fame on his solo career, and that's when that was. But what is the reason for that is because I think in 2005, Rolling Stone had released the top 300 or 500 greatest guitarists of all time, lead guitarists, and Prince did not even make the list.
That's ridiculous.
So
top 500?
Yeah, it's either 300 or 500. I want to say
he's in the top fucking 10.
Maybe it's 100. It could be 100 because like I know they had done them in 2003 of like top 500 albums. So I want to say it maybe top.
Musician.
I want to say it's the top 100 guitars. But Prince did not make the list, and so that's why.
What's the criteria for that?
Who knows? But he did that. He did all that guitar solo just as a fuck you to all the people who voted. You know, and what's also even great about it is the fact
Tom Petty's like, "Hey, stop!"
Is that at the once he's done melting faces with his guitar solo, he just throws the guitar in the air, and they never show it come down. It's just like that's it. You're muted
because it went to heaven.
Chris, you're muted. You always mute yourself, man.
Sorry. Because he fucking threw that thing up into heaven and never landed.
Yeah.
Yeah. George Harrison picked it up and it was like, thanks, mate.
So that's my pick. That's my defense of my pick. And I appreciate Nick also jumping in and promoting my pick. Thank you, bud.
Well, it's all good.
Oh, sadly, Nick's going last because he probably knows the most about the Beatles out of the four of us together.
But anybody in the fucking East Coast. Well, you're no longer on East Coast. But
I had already shared my pick with Matt after last week's episode, I do not expect to win.
And I listened to it, actually. I want to tell you that I listened to that version, too. Yeah. So it's beautiful.
Is this your ET pick?
It's my ET pick, yeah. The thing is that it's a beautiful song. I guarantee the majority of the people who are listening, and especially people who just vote without even listening.
Can we take a bet on how many people are going to say, why did you pick this over that?
Yeah. Well, when we did the Beatles when we did the Beatles greatest songs or our favorite songs versus, I picked this song, and I'm picking this song again because it's my favorite Beatles song.
I picked Help and took Crap.
And so I'm picking Here Comes the Sun by Nina Simone.
It's beautiful.
Dude, that's a great song.
Yeah. Yeah, but I'm saying, there's not a lot of people listening to Nina Simone these days.
If people give you shit for them, go fuck yourself.
Go ahead, Nick. You talk about Nina.
That's fine. But it's 1971. The album is Here Comes the Sun. It's a beautiful piano intro. and it's just such a nice whimsical version. It's so awesome. Nice, and yeah, it's such a mellow, beautiful version of "Here Comes the Sun."
It's
how many people are going to vote on just this because they're not going to see the song and they're going to vote on the song and not
maybe.
But that version is really good, Nick. And I want to just, you know, kind of plug Nick's for just a moment and just say that, like, listen to that version, listen to that song. And what's great about it really right now, right at this time of year, because they're, you know, the lyrics are about it's been a long, cold, lonely winter. And it's really about spring breaking through, you know, this like the cold and the ice. It's like, so, you know, it's a perfect time to put that on and just kind of feel
the your song would be, your song would be is it Neil Diamond's "Forever in Blue Jeans"?
I have left this room a couple times.
Maybe tonight.
Trying to actually find my snowman.
Maybe tonight.
You and I. Nothing around but the sound.
So anyway. Glad, you know, we do have just enough time.
Let's go sledding.
Joanne's
baby going sledding. Gonna hit his jump and go boom,
boom.
Baby, I'd like that David Bowie. I'm over like,
don't cut my blue jeans.
Yeah, well, yeah, I know.
Blue jeans.
Reverend Kegel's Bay.
I seriously had my wife take off those. Those, because I was in those pants still, and I'm laying there. And no, it's even worse. I had these socks on, and I was mad about
forever in sex swing.
Like, why are you upset about your socks? And I'm like, I don't know. I just
take my underwear off.
No, that was in the operating and the ER. They didn't give a shit.
Song, man, I can't, you know, forever. Whatever flows.
All right,
I've only got 30 minutes up in this blocker. Let's do it.
All right, Joanne wrote.
Obviously, I can't do it to myself.
And are you guys ready? Are you guys? You know are you done?
Here's the thing. Like, honestly, with all these picks, we don't have to shit on each other for these picks.
No, I didn't think we were.
I didn't think we were. Yeah.
Oh, I mean, that's a typical next step of this scenario.
I decided to shit on Matt instead to go back. Okay.
I know, right?
That wasn't shit, Matt. That was jumping in on the fun. Because I don't know where the fuck Neil Diamond came from, but you made it work. It's awesome.
No. Mm-mm. I should have never shared my pain.
I may have helped you make it work, but whatever.
Eric warned me. He said, oh, those guys are gonna you're gonna be in for it. So
yeah, you are. Dude, it's fucking Wednesday.
We gave Eric shit. Didn't we?
I know, and look what happened. I'm just saying, watch what you do.
Watch what you do when they come for you.
Just the curse. Jeans. The curse is coming, man. All right. No, we're not going to shit on each other because they're all great songs and they're Beatles covers. There's so many different Beatles covers out there. So the people that want to say, like, why didn't you pick Aerosmith's Come Together? Because it fucking sucks. Okay. It's not better than the original Come Together. Go back to school and figure out why Steven Tyler is not as good as John Lennon on that song. But anyway.
Is that fair to Steven Tyler?
No, but I don't give a shit because it's
a fantasy world that Matt just created.
I'm just saying
there are throngs of people voting for Steven Tyler.
I'm telling you, there's going to be a person that's just like, "Why did you pick that song?" And Matt
probably on Reddit. Reddit
is not going to be that person because he's
no one's going to say that because honestly, I think that even the people who don't fucking watch or listen to us and vote. Which is bass-ackwards. I don't even think they would pick. And if they do, this is me making fun of them preemptively because I'm not on Facebook.
Okay, fair enough. All right, I'm going to move on to these emails because I think we can still squeeze them in.
I just read the private chat. Spot on.
Yep.
By the way, there's
only one. Only one in there. And it looks fucking stupid.
I see
a little fucking cup.
I know what you're saying. There's only one.
And it looks stupid. Like, the fuck?
Okay. Joanne wrote in. Are you going to let me finish? Huh? We only have so much time left. Chris has got, you know, something. He's way too tired, you know, to continue on.
Right,
okay. Joanne wrote in. She says, car crash stories. I'm a little bit behind. Just listen to Matt's car crash story. Well, guess what, Joanne? Get ready.
It got worse.
It got worse. Hopefully 2021 just gets better from here because I'm fucking over it. Glad he and his son were safe, at least until Matt's sled accident.
Okay.
Hope you heal quickly. I have two car crash stories with related themes. I was driving my teenage daughter and two of her friends back home late one evening on a main, but at that time, quiet road, three lanes each way. I was in the far left lane preparing to make a turn at the next light. A car was speeding along the far right lane, no other cars around, suddenly swerved and sideswiped me. The girls had their windows open and pieces of metal came through the window. Wow. And everyone was scared, but no one hurt. The other car pulled over on the far right side and then started pulling away. We realized he was leaving the scene, but did not have time to get his license. This was before cell phone cameras were so common. I called the police and insurance company. Police show up, and then a car also pulls up, not the car that hit me. A guy jumps out and yells at me, "Why did you call the cops? I always return to the scene of my crimes." So you're admitting what? That it's a crime.
Yeah.
She continues, "The cops ended up having him sit in their car for a while. My guess is he was both on drugs and had drugs in the original car, but we'll never know." By the way, that's horrible. And I hate it when a vehicle comes out of nowhere. It's rattled me for sure. My second story is more about swearing.
And he definitely had at least 8 kilos of cocaine in the trunk of that first car. There's no question about that.
I always come back to the scene of my crimes.
Always come back. Yeah.
Said no criminal ever. My second story is,
I don't even know. Is 8 kilos a lot? Like, I just made up
It sounds like a lot. It is in the movies.
I think you need a van. Is more about swearing, which is something I rarely do.
Fuck.
I was driving back to the office from an off-site staff meeting, and one of my staff, Teresa, I guess we can call her that here, was in the car with me. It was rainy and slick. As I headed down a hill, the cars ahead were stopped, but beginning to move as the light at the bottom of the hill had just changed. I hit my brakes and just started sliding. For the next few seconds that seemed like hours, I just kept saying, "Shit, shit, shit," etc. As I knew, I was slowly but inevitably going to hit the car in front of me. I do, and some bumper damage done, and it was enough for the car in front of me to hit the car in front of him. Teresa exclaims, "You hit Al," who is also on my staff. So I got to show off my leadership skills of swearing and causing harm around and to my staff. So that's pretty funny.
Hit somebody,
yeah.
You know.
Not only did you hit somebody that you knew, but you were swearing the whole time when you did it. So, you know, at least you were like, "Fuck you, Al!" Boom, right? You know,
ice is no joke, man. There's
that sounds like
was it ice or rain? I think she said it was rainy.
I thought it was rain. Ice.
Either way, slipping on in your car,
rainy and slick.
So the sensation you get when you realize you make that connection where you are not in fucking control is one of the most terrifying things ever. Like, you get to that point where when you're driving and you know you're turning the wheel to the right, but you're going left or you're going straight. It's fucking scary as hell.
That's happened to me on a Zamboni.
And the
worst part is with Zamboni was at least like 5 tons.
Yeah. And like
everyone does this. If you're sliding towards the wall, you always stick out your leg and arm. Like you're going to break the fall of this thick. So sometimes if you turn too sharp, you hit the wet ice, the ice you've already shaved off and it just slides.
Yeah.
Everybody's that you stick out your arm and leg to break the fall of the Zamboni. So it doesn't damage us up, but go ahead. Sorry.
Yeah, but it's scary as hell. And I remember there was one time I was driving down the Mass Turnpike, and it was a snowstorm, and just I'm actually very good at driving in snow. I'll toot my own horn. That I actually learned how to drive in snow on a rear wheel drive car. It's like I was born and bred driving in snow, and but that's not the same for most people around here. Like people in Massachusetts drive like assholes, and they don't know what the hell they're doing. And it's like they have selective amnesia where they literally forget every winter that it snows here, and you have to drive carefully in the snow. So I'm driving, and we're probably doing like 35, 40 miles an hour in the middle of a snowstorm. It was one of those moments where you can't react fast enough to somebody else when it's snowing. So if someone else fucks up and they're locking up and they're sliding all over the place, you have like a split second to figure out what you're going to do. And 9 times out of 10, it's not great because there's nothing much you can do when there's that much snow.
Because people are dumb.
Yeah, but I did it. Like I was awesome. So picture like I was behind a car. There's a car to my right. There's a car to the left. So there's three cars in front of me. Like maybe like 10, 12, and 2. And the car in front of me started spinning out. And it was just one of those things that you have like a 50-50 chance. Like, and I made the right choice. I just compensated the wheel just enough as I was getting into my slide and went around. And I did like a literal like fishtail doing 30, 40 miles an hour. Back and forth and weaving through three cars. Remember, my wife was riding passenger. I think she's my girlfriend at the time, and our friend was in the back seat. And my wife is freaking out, and I'm just like, you know, when you're in that zone, it just happens so quickly. And I got right back into it and recovered and started going right back on the highway. And it was one of those moments where I was like, I wish I had a camera, a dashboard cam, because that was fucking awesome. Meanwhile, the cars
you'd have like 10 million hits by now.
Meanwhile, the cars behind me off the road, like just got completely fucked. But I just kept on going.
Nice. But and she mentioned, Joanne mentioned
that
swearing.
That was luck.
Joanne mentioned swearing. I wanted to have a question because a couple weeks ago I told a story about how my granddaughter was saying, God damn it, when she was putting on her shoes. And I've worked really hard on not saying, God damn it. Well, today she's trying to put on her shoes and she's saying, crap. Crap, crap, and that's another word that I may or may not use. And so my daughter was home today because she's teaching, and you know it's an off every Wednesday. It shouldn't have to go into whatever it is. And she goes, "Do you hear what she just said?" I go, "What?" She goes, "Crap." I go, "Yeah, it's not goddamn it." She goes, "That's still a bad word." I go, "Crap is not a bad word." I mean, I literally watched Cocomelon today. Or this morning, and little JJ, the kid with the turd on his head, he's really on the potty and he's taking a dump. He's like,
yeah,
and I'm like, and the whole family, because the family, all they do is laugh on that show. Everything's fucking funny. To
people I've seen it 700 times. I laugh every single time.
But he's taking a dump, and they all look at his shit afterwards and go, yeah, and they sing a song because it's
they do poop inspection. They totally yeah, it's like pooped. It's like over the shoulder shot too.
Like, yeah, yeah. I mean, I don't remember sitting. I'm. It's a long time since I was a kid, but I don't remember sitting around going, "Oh, my sister just crap! Yay!" Anyway, so but is crap a bad word? I'm not allowed to say crap anymore. I mean, this is my house.
You're dropping your kids off at my house. I need to say crap and shit.
How old is she now?
She's 2.5.
Dude, I honestly, me picturing a 2.5-year-old little girl saying crap, I think is the cutest thing I've ever heard.
And using it.
I want to teach my son to say crap.
Using it correctly, too. And, you know, it's not just random crap. She's saying
her shoes.
God damn it. She couldn't get her shoes on, so instead of saying God damn it, she's saying crap, because they won't fit. Crap! I'm like going... I go, I don't see the problem. And then my wife comes home and goes, no, you can't teach her to say that. I go, well, first, I'm not teaching her to say that. She just mimics everything you say now. I go, it's not my fault that she's saying, I guess it is, but I don't see the harm in it. But I guess I can't say crap anymore. I grew up in a different generation.
I'll say this. There's probably a benefit to having a 2.5-year-old kid that doesn't exclaim crap. However... I still think it's awesome.
It's hilarious.
So just hilarious. real quickly to finish Joanne's email.
Oh shit! Sorry.
She says.
I like the T zone, but go ahead.
Stay safe out there, Joanne. P.S. Still loving the Matt names at the end of the show, and the Nick Diddy's at the start. So,
she hates Jack and I.
Yeah. She just didn't mention you guys.
I mean, can you blame her?
Well, obviously, I mean, it's a long email. You could have thrown us a bone. Oh, I'm sorry. Is that too soon?
No, like Maggie has another email, and I don't. I guess we're extending this beyond our normal hour and a half hour. You know,
I thought this was going to be an hour.
You wanted it to be an hour, and you were delusional as fuck.
I am.
I can end the show right now. Great show, kids. This was one in a million. Oh, wait. I got to thank some patrons first.
So, Maggie had an email.
You're the one that wanted to keep it. Okay, whatever. All right. I'll go to Maggie's email here.
The name says it all.
This says just email. Yeah, I know. Seriously, like I've been kind of like that. Even when I went into the operating with the consultation with the doctor, you know, on Monday when I was like basically in a lot of pain, and he was like, "Oh, you thought you were going to get an operation today?" And he was like, "Oh yeah, we can't fit you in today." I'm like, "Fuck you!
What am I doing here?"
And he says to me, okay, well, you know, I've looked at the x-rays and there's two things that you can do. You can live with it how it is. And I'm like, looking at my wife like, no, we want the surgery. And he was like, but it was like he was trying to like sell me on the surgery. And it's like, we're already sold on the surgery. No.
Go ahead and overcharge me.
My bag is packed.
Yeah, like, I came in here for the surgery. Of jeans,
just in case.
I didn't eat that day in preparation for the surgery. I was like, I haven't eaten. Like, I'm ready. So, anyway.
I'd be so tempted because it's broken cheese pie. It's like, maybe just growing up too much on the bionic man. It's like, can you put like a, I want like a all metal. I want like enhanced. Come on.
Or like rookie of the year. Can you throw a 70 mile an hour or 100 mile an hour fastball?
Come on. Well, now the weird thing is that I have this spot and they did warn me that as they go into this, and by the way, like I said, there's a huge incision on my chest now. It's going to leave a nice big scar.
Chick stick scar.
Sure. There's a nice spot on my shoulder here, which is completely numb. I cannot feel to the touch. I can, if you tap on it, I can feel it. But other than that, it's like the skin is completely numb. Yeah, and I'm thinking this is.
Oh, okay.
It's great for a heavy backpack. You can just throw on that shoulder down the road, and it won't be a fucking bother.
Oh no, I was thinking about getting like a tattoo on that area because I can't feel the skin there. It's like the perfect time.
Oh, God.
Target. Like a little target.
Because the skin is numb. The skin is completely numb right on this area right here. I could just get a nice little tattoo right there.
You could just suck it up and get a tattoo
would this be your first tattoo?
It would be my first tattoo. Huh. And also it'd kind of like commemorate the thing, you know, it'd be like me on a little sled or, you know.
Dude, you should totally do some tattoo art that incorporates the scar.
Oh yeah, yeah. Because like that would be
what if you just took your drawing, your original drawing?
It's like me with a little slide, and then this the spot can be part of a hill that goes down.
Yeah, exactly.
You have to do that shit.
If it heals like this, you fucking have to.
You Facebook it live, and we'll make it part of our podcast.
Sure, honestly, and honestly, get the same seven people that watched to be like, "Yay, Matt!
This is not a dig. This is not a dig on your artistic ability at all. I promise you. But I think I could fucking do it.
Okay, I'll do it myself. But thanks. And by the way, my drawing was made like the very next day.
What if we get a
one shot out? I wasn't
donation of like. A $5,000 a month donation. Would you let me tattoo your drawing on your scar?
No.
Come on. $5,000 a month?
$5,000 a month for him
the rest
to tattoo?
Of your life.
I don't know.
This is just a theoretical question.
You can tattoo me for $5,000 a month.
I
don't care.
But here's the deal. If that scar is in a Jack's similar trajectory as your drawing, you fucking have to do that.
So anyway, Maggie's got it.
Air class, look at my tattoo. I drew it.
It's living art.
Where are you going?
My wife's really paranoid that I'm going to pass out at any second now.
Even the naked person.
Like right now?
No, just like at random times. You know, she's like, I mean, she saw me like go completely white gray and like,
dude, you'd go full limp if you're sitting in a tattoo parlor.
You brought up when I passed out on air for a year after that. Anytime my wife heard a boom, are you okay?
Yeah.
Yes, I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine. I'm fine.
Yep. Yeah. Like she had to leave me like at you know, like, I don't know, to go to work. And she's like, calling, are you, everything okay? I'm like, nope, passed out 2 times. I'm good. Yeah. Anyway, Maggie writes.
Yeah, read the fucking email.
She says, hey, Matt, Jack, Nick, and Chris.
I didn't get four billing. Love the
fucking intonation on that one.
Okay, here. I'll change it for you. Hey, Matt, Jack, Nick, and Chris.
Hey!
Much better, yeah.
Matt, I hope you are healing and doing better. How did she find out? Yes, I did mean for two of my emails to be read last show. The one I didn't want read was the one that I hit send on two earlier. Here's my two emails together. In the last episode, you guys were talking about the COVID vaccine. I've gotten both shots. After the first one, my arm hurt for about 2 days, about the same as the flu shot. For the second one, I had no side effects at all. I did get Pfizer. There does seem to be some difference between the two right now. I'm a preschool teacher for a public school system, and I am going back in person on February 23rd if the school board doesn't change their mind. I'm still not convinced they won't, but there has been a lot of pressure from parents to open school buildings. I did go back on the 23rd. So a little update there. From the people that I've talked to that do get side effects, they seem to come about 12 hours after either shot and last about 12 to 24 hours. Mm-hmm. All anecdotal evidence from both from people I know who have gotten both Pfizer and Moderna. Maggie. Hey guys, I hit send on the COVID vaccine email before finishing the episode, and I knew it was a mistake. Gina Carano did not get fired for her political beliefs, like Nick commented. She got fired because she compared being a Republican in the political climate to being a Jew in Nazi Germany, along with a photo of dead Jewish person from the time period. What the fuck is that? That is wrong. See the Washington Post article above. Apparently, Disney gave her chances to stop, and she didn't. You don't mess around with the mouse. A friend of mine is wondering if she wanted to get fired so she can say she was canceled. I don't like the idea of cancel culture. I think we need to call people out for saying dumb shit and give them a chance to change. We are all human. Compression socks. I love them. I have had heel pain for a while and got compression socks. They have helped. I'm obsessed. Were wondering if Alex will have Jack's hair as an adult. Where? I've been told, not sure how true this is, that a man's hairline comes from his mother's father. So Jack, I think Hayden is getting your hair or lack thereof. Thanks for the weekly laughs, Maggie.
Well, Hayden is a young, he does look, if you put my photo as his photo, it's like we're clones. Alex has no chance of having my hairline. Zero. Hmm.
The thing is like,
we don't have the same, but
like you can tell though, like Zach's got thick hair, you know, whereas in like, Alex has that. It's that I wouldn't say thin, but it's that flowy kind of hair. You know,
he has better hair though. He has.
He does have better hair, but it's always the people that have the great hair that end up losing it. You know, it's like
that's why it hurts so much.
Yeah,
I've held on to
this day. I still get pissed when I see you see people with their hair stuck. I was like, Jesus,
Jack, you have great hair, man. I've seen pics. You had great hair.
I did, but now it's gone. I'm cool with it now, though.
I've heard that thing about that you get it from the mother's side.
Alex and Zach have no issues to worry about.
Hmm.
I think everything
from my side anyway, from my side, because there's no.
I know what they do. Everything comes from the mother's side though, because I've always heard that about muscle tone as well. Is that like it comes from the mother's side? Like it's the I forget they're called the meta something the cells.
Midichlorians.
I thought you were making fun of Jay.
No.
Kids are ever overdue for that. It's usually the least
true. Yeah. But yeah, what were they called? Not
Midichlorians.
Yeah, Midichlorians.
That's what I thought you were going to say.
No, it's a weird cell. It's what gives you like for the muscles, but like I can't remember what it is. But yeah, they always say that's what it comes from the mother.
And not to get into cancel culture too much, but I do also hate the term cancel culture because I think consequence culture or cultural awareness really is what we're talking about. Because cancel culture means that we're canceling some culture out there, and that's not what's happening. I think that if anything, as society moves forward, we're getting to this point where we're aware. We become more aware. You know, it's like Breakfast at Tiffany's would not be made today because of Mickey Rourke's awful impersonation of a Japanese person. This just would not be made. And it's only a matter of time until
Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke. I'm sorry. What did I say?
You said Mickey Rourke.
Yeah. So in Breakfast at Tiffany's, he's the upstairs neighbor who doesn't like Holly Golightly because she's a noisy neighbor.
Who am I thinking? Mickey Rourke.
Mickey Rourke.
Yeah, it's Mickey Rourke that does it, right? Black or Mickey Beauty, Rooney. You know? Mickey Rourke.
Like Mickey Rooney, yeah.
I'm sorry. Okay. I get Mickey Rooney and Mickey Rourke
two very fucking different people. Very different.
I know, but
one's 4'10" and the other one's like 6'9".
I get them mixed up. But my point is though, is that there's a certain point that we reach in society where it's
all
just like
at one point in time.
I mean, I have the background of a Beatles album cover. Jack has the background of Batman and Robin. Both were born out of the 60s, same with Breakfast at Tiffany's. At the time, people were like, yeah, you know, like they didn't think anything of that, you know, and maybe there were people at the time that were like, this is wrong, but it wasn't society as a whole didn't say this is bad. But now, as we progress, we can like actually say like, yeah, that's kind of fucked up and wrong. We should not do that.
What I thought you were saying in your email too, is you, what they may have said 30, 40 years ago. Should they be punished for it now if they've said, okay, yeah, I was a dick then. I was wrong. But we're so quick to, no, you're fucking, you need to go to hell. I mean, it just seems like, because look at Dr. Seuss. I mean.
Don't start with the Dr. Seuss thing now.
I'm just throwing it out there that all of a sudden, because I think social media, I try and, I don't think there's anything in my past that could come back to haunt me, but I don't know.
I actually think there is some credence to this, to the Dr. Seuss stuff, some of it.
Well, yeah. Have you read what happened on Mulberry Street? It's not a great book.
But he did evolve into.
But the depictions of Chinese people in that book are not great.
And the problem is that he was openly.
Yeah.
Against that. That race, that culture.
Well, you go to Charles Lindbergh, and I've said this before. This the San Diego Airport is named Lindbergh Field after Charles Lindbergh. Mm-hmm. I can't believe it's still no one's attacked it yet. But it's just like okay. I mean, I'm talking about people that have obviously the people that have passed away. There's some people that some kid that he's 16 puts in a tweet when he's 16 something stupid, but 10 years later he's like. Okay, I don't believe that. I was just a dumb kid. It opens up
so many conversations, right? So, I mean, you go one direction with the Gina Carano shit and all that stuff, but like there's so much questionable stuff that we just haven't corrected over time. Like every children's lullaby has a fucked up backstory. Like all the Brahms lullabies, like it's all crazy ass shit.
Well,
I was listening
to Coco Melon. I've listened to a lot of a lot of the nursery rhymes. And what's that one? Ba ba black sheep.
Mm-hmm.
I turn my wife. I go, this is completely racist. And she goes, she goes, what do you mean? I go, listen to it.
Yeah.
Is there any more? It literally says master.
Yeah. Right.
I said, this song. I have no problem with stuff that is completely racist being taken out.
Yeah.
But I do agree with Maggie. Sometimes let's give this person a second chance before we put them in the fire. I think sometimes we have a double standard. I go, if we like people, mm-hmm. they tend to get a pass.
Well, and dude,
if we don't like someone, granted,
this wasn't the only thing that Gina Carano put some bullshit that she pulled, but it's interesting that you mentioned that, Jack, because Pedro Pascal essentially tweeted the exact same fucking
thing. He did, yeah.
And nothing happened to him.
But we like him.
But here's the thing. There's that. That's an unfortunate, part of history is that people are definitely focused on like this. Like, and especially at the time like it is right now with all the shit that's happening in the world, it's even more sensitive. But this was for her, was compounding like one thing after another.
And there's been a lot of things that have been taken down that she had already put up and that people had. So it's a very complicated thing because, and like she said, don't mess around with the mouse, because I do think that the mouse does like to keep a tight lid on those things. So I'm sure this has been building for quite some time.
If you work for a company, it's their fucking rules. And if they tell you to stop and you don't stop, I don't have any sympathy for you if you get fired. I mean, it's just like, I mean, I get it's supposed to be free speech. But again, in this day and age with social media and companies that are trying to stay afloat and trying to, especially now with the pandemic, you don't need any help. It's how many times if you're on Twitter every day, there's boycott somebody. We got to boycott this. And it's like, I can't even keep up with all of it. But if I'm working for a company, they tell me to stop, either I stop. Or I keep going and say, fuck you, I'm going to do what I'm going to do. If I get fired, oh, well, it's on me.
Well, I don't know what I'm going to do when they start boycotting paper.
Did y'all watch the video, the interview with her that I sent y'all?
I did not know.
No.
I'm sorry.
I think it was a Facebook link, was it?
I don't remember if it was or wasn't.
I clicked on something I couldn't.
It's either Twitter or whatever. But it was really interesting to hear her words, because like you really see how good of a person she is. And even Bill Maher, I think yesterday, came out and defended her as well about how she's a fucking awesome person and she shouldn't have been fired.
Even Pedro said she got a
Bill Burr. Bill Burr said that. Like, he's like, he goes, now I feel like I have to watch my fucking mouth, which everyone knows is hard for me to do.
The way she says,
I'm not political. She goes, I never have been. She goes, I never voted until this year. She goes, but the thing is that because I'm on Twitter, it's the same as like with all the other Disney people. It's like, you have so many people just bombarding you with negativity, positivity, all these things. And she goes, what started it, is that when this whole pronouns thing started, people were telling her to put in her title in her Twitter, like, she, her, whatever, and she's like, no, I'm not doing it, And so after so many people bullying her, that's how she assumed it. That's her words. It's like, I was being bullied into conforming. I just put beep, bop, bloop in there of like kind of a fuck you to everyone that's telling me to put shit in there. And she goes, and that was wrong because I shouldn't have done that because people are going to take it the wrong way. Like I'm making fun of people. And really, I'm just saying fuck you to people bullying me. And that's where it started.
I don't fucking buy it for one second.
These are her words.
She is so full of shit because, and just by saying she's not political, is she's so full of shit because everything she fucking posts is very fucking political.
It's a thing about Twitter that, and I got into a round with somebody today where I just was so fucking annoying. This person just kept attacking me about what I put. It was one of those things where, like,
was it the thing about Indiana?
No.
It was Indiana. I said bad sledding.
No. Okay. So, but what I wrote, I saw it as it, and I even like at some point I was just like so fucking tired of this person. Like, why don't you explain yourself? What do you have to do? And I'm just like, fuck you. Finally, like I responded with like that the image of like the person looking at a six on the ground and they're like six and the other person's nine. And it's like I wrote it and I understood it the way I said it. And you're taking it the way that you want to because you want to attack someone.
Is it someone that follows you?
No. And I don't want to get into all of the logistics of it. But it was just one of these moments of just like somebody read what I wrote as being one way. And I'm like, no, we actually agree on the same thing, but you read it as the opposite and you're just, you're attacking me. You keep bullying me about this thing. And it just got to the point where I was like, fuck this shit. They finally just now, like, was just like, if you honestly like meant this, then I apologize. And I was like, that's all I wanted. Like, because like you did, you misunderstood what I wrote. And you know, and it's easy to do. It's easy to do with the connotation of what was put out. But
well, Twitter's hard too, because you only have so many characters.
Exactly. Like, but you know, like, but you know, it's just like, why didn't you explain yourself right away? I'm like, I don't have to jump on Twitter, and I got other fucking shit to do. I'm not spending my whole time explaining it to
someone. Why do I have to explain it to you?
Yeah, and it's just like after a while, you're just kind of like, enough. And so you know, there's certain aspects of it that, but I'm 100%, you know, I don't know. My day on Twitter today was just like, it was the opposite of the other day where I had responded to Dan Rather. He had put out a tweet that said something.
Dan Rather be sledding.
No. It was right before Trump was about to give his speech at CPAC, and he said he gave a Star Wars quote. He said, "I felt a great disturbance in the force." ... And I responded, "As if a million voices cried out in stupidity." And it was just one of those things that, like, I just responded.
Oh, that's what you said,
and that's that's not what I got in a fight today about. It was something else. But I've never had 400 plus likes on a tweet before, and people kept, and it was just like, I was like, this is crazy. I've never had, you know, but I was just responding to what Dan Rather, but because I was on that thread of Dan Rather, people were just like, boom, 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 boom. And I was like, holy shit.
You were in a safe zone.
I had one of those the other day with the Lincoln Project. They posted like multiple tweets of all the different like GoFundMe pages for Texas during the storm. And I respond. I was like, I happened to be on Twitter when they did it, and I was one of the first to respond to it. And I said something like, you know, and with one tweet, you guys have literally done more for Texas than their own government has. And it was one of those things where it was like, brr, brr, everyone's just like. I'm like, I tweeted much better shit than this.
Right. Well, I even made an error in what I typed. But part of that was probably because pain meds. And the other part was because I was watching Star Wars with my kids. But we're going to get into like a longer than 2-hour episode. And I obviously have to put in a second commercial break at this point. So I'm just going to throw one right in here. Commercial break. And because we did that commercial break, we'll go ahead and try to kind of round out this show here. And we've talked about a lot, and I feel like we just started getting fired up about a lot of different things. I know Jack wanted to keep it an hour. Chris wanted to drop out an hour ago. Nick and I probably wanted to talk Star Wars Legos for like the bonus out, because that's all we've been talking about. I want to thank
I'm out.
I want to thank everybody that joined us live today in the chat. We really appreciate it. Everybody from Matt Triest, Sherry, Will Fry, Matt Kreeb.
I think I'm going to have one tea before I go to bed.
Yeah, one tea? Just one tea, not two teas? Yeah, you might double up on that tea.
You don't want to have two teas because it has caffeine and to keep you awake.
I want to thank Randy and, you know, especially
Randy's sleeping right now.
Especially Eric, my bone brother in Harmony.
Yes, it's stuck.
Kim, who chimed in only once that she was here,
but she's in a bad mood.
She's in a bad mood. Hopefully, you made her laugh.
I don't know what John did, but damn it, John, you got to get that shit together.
Well, he had a kidney stone, so maybe he was cranky for a while.
So, if you like what we do, go ahead, rate and review us on iTunes. That would really, really help us out. You can send in an email at rcadcast@gmail.com. One of us will read it. Vote on the poll on the Facebook group. We'll give those results next week. And go over to jandjack.com and you can click on the patron link to become a patron. And there's a couple patrons that make this show possible. I'm going to let Chris read them off, okay?
Okay.
Here we go.
Jack 2 pain meds. I hit the ground Eckhart and ricked my shoulder.
I like that one. That's a good one.
Seeing on the cement.
Sledding. I got you.
Sledding.
What'd you get seeing?
I don't know. Whatever.
I never learned.
Maggie, my dear,
is a Beatles reference there. I couldn't come up with. And then,
my dear.
Shit, Joe accident. that's actually pretty good. And Greg gets it good.
Does he?
Hey, Greg.
He's a bone brother.
Thanks for doing what you do. Thanks for making this show possible. Thanks, guys, for making me feel better. And this was a great show. I was so looking forward to it. Fuck you guys and your jeans jokes.
Forever in blue jeans. Is that going to be the name of the show?
Sledding tonight. I'm going to hit a jump and fuck up my shoulder tonight.
Maybe that's why you couldn't. Maybe that's why you injured, because you were jeans and they were so stiff. You didn't have the awesome noodle effect, to like hit the impact. It just like,
John says he's innocent. It wasn't him that put him in a bad mood.
Oh, I don't know how your house got shammed, but that doesn't sound great.
He's like, I thought it was shamed.
Okay. All right. Great show, kids. 1 in a million. We'll be back next week, unless one of us breaks a shoulder.